Good afternoon. It is, by the calendar, January 15th, 2012. And I'm real happy that you could join me today, at this moment. Many of us have read the first book by Joel Goldsmith called The Infinite Way. And I notice now, after these many years, just how deep this book is. Upon first reading, it was almost, well, very nice and very uplifting, but I didn't know that he was revealing in every one or two sentences very, very deep truth about God and about our true identity. And he jumps right into it, dives right in the very first chapter called Putting On Immortality, when he says, quoting John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." And Joel says, the Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. It does not change its nature, character, or substance. Cause, spirit, consciousness is still the Word. In this way, we understand there is not a spiritual universe and a material world, but rather what appears as a material world is the Word, appearing as flesh. Those are my words, appearing as flesh. And so when you read it that way, you have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word appeared as flesh. Now he says right here, you don't have a material world and a spiritual world. And the name of this chapter is Putting On Immortality. And of course, Paul says we have to put off mortality and put on immortality. Now, do you know that that applies to each and every meditation? It applies overall to your identity, putting off mortality and putting on immortality. But it also applies to the day-to-day affairs. We have to put off mortality and put on immortality. And it applies to our meditation, to our periods of meditation. In meditation, each and every meditation, we must put off mortality and put on immortality. And so he tells us in the very first couple of paragraphs, in the very first book ever written by him, that when we understand the Word, or God, is appearing as flesh, but it is still God, it is still the Word, it is still Spirit, then we can understand there is not Spirit and a material world. There is only Spirit. And so right there, everything that we have heard Mr. Herbert Fitch tell us in the last 5 years, Joel has summed up nicely in less than two paragraphs. There is not a material world and the Word. There is only the Word. Right where you are, whether your eyes are open or closed, whether you're sitting, standing, driving, jogging, and listening to your MP3 player, there is the Word. It hasn't changed its nature, its substance, its character. But the senses don't reveal the Word that is right here. The senses reveal a material person. But there is no material person. The senses are showing you a concept about the Word. And so, this concept about the Word is a universal concept. It's a universal image of an individual. That's right. Look at this deeply. You, as a human, your name, your size, your lifetime, your mind, your body, your personality, you can roll all that up into a ball and know that it is a universal concept of an individual, but it is not an individual. Because only the Word is here. Now, that's very beautiful and very comforting, but it doesn't do anything for us when we're faced with a dilemma, a problem of some sort. If we're faced with the problem in our... Well, here's a good example. Yesterday I went to the mailbox and I took out the mail, and there was an electric bill in there. And last month, the bill was $185. And this month, the bill was $412. The electric company decided that a 30% increase was something they deserved, I guess. And you can tell by the tone of my voice, I was immediately pulled down into a universal image of an individual problem, a universal concept, and that I wasn't sensing the Word. Yet, we have said, yes, I want to put off mortality and put on immortality. Oh, and by the way, please don't send me emails about how your electric has increased too and it's a crying shame. The whole point is to put off mortality. And so I don't want to go back into that thinking. And I don't want to relate to the human or other humans. So just keep that little information to yourself. Okay, so we have said we want to put off mortality and put on immortality. And so, Joel has told us over and over that the whole secret is reaction. And so if I had reached into the mailbox, pulled out the bill, opened it up, and seen that it had more than doubled, in the consciousness of the Word, what would that mean to me, that bill I was holding in my hands? It would mean nothing, because the Word has not changed its character. And so the Word is still infinite supply. Anything, everything that's needed flows out from the Word at any given moment. And so, putting off mortality and putting on immortality in these day-to-day affairs of ours means living in that higher consciousness of the Word. So that's why I say this is, we read this and it's very beautiful and it's very inspiring, but it doesn't do anything for us when we're faced with these little problems or maybe major problems. It won't meet the problem. You know that by now. Look at the years you've been studying. It won't meet the problem. Reading this book, The Infinite Way, from cover to cover, and communing with the ideas on its pages is very uplifting, very inspiring. You put the book down and you feel, yes, of course. And then you walk down to the mailbox and you're flabbergasted. Or whatever the problem is that's presenting itself to you. Or me. We must find a way, if we've really made the commitment to put off mortality and put on immortality, we must find the way to live in the consciousness that senses the Word right here. And the Word was God, so God right here. Spirit as the only presence. Now, we can walk around, and I've done it, saying to ourselves, Spirit's the only presence, Spirit's the only presence, Spirit's the only presence, every few minutes, and thinking about it intensely. And then we can pull up to, well, we can be driving down the highway, and someone on a side street can suddenly pull out in front of us, causing us to put on the brakes, and our immediate reaction is one of fear. Is it not? And then maybe anger. Watch where you're going, buddy. Where'd you get your driver's license? In a Cracker Jack box, you know? That's all fear talking. In other words, we're living in the consciousness of a universal concept about the Word. We have no awareness of the Word. We might have beautiful concepts, beautiful theories, inspiring thoughts, but no awareness. We must really, honestly find a way to live in the consciousness, in the awareness of the Word. Which is God, of the Word, which is your presence. Now I listened yesterday in my car. I had a chore to run, and I'm quite a ways from town, so I usually plug in my MP3 player and listen to a talk. And on the way into town, I heard Joel say, he had to dumb down the message. He couldn't say to people, what you have to realize is I and the Father are one. He said he changed it to God is individual being. Yes, God is individual being is a lot softer and gentler on the human ego, that mortality that has to be put off. But to say, I and the Father are one, well, either the human mind, which is living in concepts, gets all puffed up and says, hey, I'm God, I can do about anything, and then falls on its face, or It becomes very confused and angry, and how can you say that? That's sacrilegious. And so he couldn't do that. He had to say God is individual being, but the real message is I and the Father are one. I, this word, right here, right now, and the Father are one. And so the Word is God, and God is here. But I'm living in a, or we're living in a universal concept about the Word. It never reaches the Word. There are billions and trillions of concepts about the Word. We call them dog, tree, moon, star, automobile, good, bad, young, old, man, woman, colors, numbers. These are all concepts about the Word. So what are we saying? We're saying that there must be an actual change in consciousness where we don't live our lives every single day in a universal concept about the Word, or a universal concepts. Again, Joel says, we understand that there's not a spiritual universe and a material world. Or he could say, there's not a spiritual being and you. There's only the Word. He goes on to say, all the error that has existed down through the ages is founded on the theory or the concept of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom or spiritual universe, and the other, a material world or mortal existence. So you see, every time you sit down to meditate, to make a problem disappear, you're asking God to make your concept change from a bad concept to a good concept. You're asking God to come into these concepts. You're asking God to come into the universal concepts and fix them. You see now why, when Joel says one of the greatest revelations he ever had was God is not in the human scene, how profound that really is. But again, that means nothing to you. Nothing. Unless you see the depth of it and then stop trying to get God to work in the human scene. We have said we want to put off mortality and put on immortality. And so we must find a way to come out of the concepts and stand in the awareness, the spiritual perception of the Word in the midst. And so how do we do that? If we have tens of years or decades in which we've been reading this stuff and not getting anywhere, it's because we haven't made the change in awareness. See, a change in consciousness are multi-syllable words that mean you put off the mortal and become aware of the Word, of God, of identity. And so how do we attain or step into or come into the spiritual awareness of the Word right here? Because that's the change of consciousness. Stepping out of the universal concepts about the word into no more concepts, just awareness in the word. Well, Joel gives us a hint. He says, let us is italicized in some of these, in the earlier version of the Infinite Way books, let us begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather the universe in which we live is the Word, or, as he says, is the realm of reality about which we entertain a false concept. So, now listen. This is one of the most important lines I have ever read in all of the material. The work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing a material universe. The work is correcting the finite concept of our existence. Now, I can't tell you how many, well, yes, I can. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times that people have said to me and written to me and emailed me that, well, I understand the problems only in this outer picture, or I understand the spiritual principles, but out here, such and so is confronting me. And when they do that, I realize that they haven't yet caught the principle. He spells that out plainly there. Go back and read it. Post it on your wall if you need to. The only work you have to do is to change your awareness so that you're not looking at the concepts appearing, so that you're looking instead at the word. And nothing else matters. And so that's entirely an inside job. It has nothing to do with anything out here. It's entirely an inside job. Dropping the concept mind and stepping into the Christ mind, which has awareness and not concepts. This is an inner job, an inner experience. You have nothing to meet out there. It's not out there. Ever. Now close your eyes. Here we are together in the quiet, and it's dark. No images at the moment. But if we sit here for a while, sooner or later we'll think about that lunch that we haven't had yet, and what shall we have? I was thinking of reheating the hamburger and hot dogs I grilled last night, and I better not have any of that bread. I think I'll just have it on a plate. Maybe another cup of coffee. I could have some of this Fructuo water to go with. Now, what am I looking at in my mind? That could be something different. You might be thinking, well, this is all nice, but I got a $412 electric bill due in 11 days. Okay, but what are you looking at? What are you handling in your mind? You're handling a material universe, you think, but you're not. You're not. You're not handling something out there. These are mental concepts, and they're not even yours. These are universal concepts. There is no world out there, because we have been told there is the Word, and the Word has not changed its nature and character. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word, and it hasn't changed. And so in the beginning and now is the Word, omnipresent, right here. Then what am I handling here in my mind? Is that here too, out here? No. No, those are universal concepts about the Word. You see, the human being cannot understand the Word. The human mind cannot encompass the Word. It's infinite. How can the human mind encompass God? It can't. And so the human mind cannot receive awareness. Only concepts. The human mind can only receive the universal concepts, which float in and float out, and we recognize them as thoughts. But they're universal concepts about this thing, which is the Word. Because the universal concepts can never draw a picture of the Word. They can't. So every time you're handling these concepts, you're handling something which isn't here. It's not out here. It's in the mind. And this is the mortal that we must put off, because it can't have awareness of the Word. It can't. It'll never understand it. It'll never understand the infinite invisible. And if it thinks it does, it's lying to you. All it can do is form concepts about the Word. But we must put off that consciousness, that human material set of concepts. We must put off that universal image of whatever, whether it's an image of an individual, an image of a car, an image of a grape, an image of an apple, an image of a sick person, an image of a dying person. We have decided we're going to put off that mortal mind. And you know, there really is no such thing as a mortal mind. There are universal concepts that you see and handle inside as thoughts. But it has no mind. It's just concepts floating in and out. And so we are going to put off mortality, including these concepts that float in and out. We're not going to handle them anymore. If we close our eyes and we sit here in the stillness and the darkness, and these concepts start flowing, let us recognize these are universal concepts about the Word. They won't help me. Joel was right. You cannot meet a problem on the level of the problem. Joel was right. These concepts have no answer. No answer to this. See, these are all little tricks and techniques to get you to stop playing in the concepts. Stop trying to change a bad concept into a good one. Stop trying to get God to come into these concepts and fix it. Drop the concepts. They won't help you. That is the mortality you must put off. Paul could have just as well said, we must put off the universal concepts and put on the Word. That would have been the same thing. That would have been truth too. So, now, open your eyes and close your eyes again. Let's not handle concepts. That's the universal concepts about the Word. But what is the Word? I have said I'm going to put on the Word. And how do I do that? Can a concept put on the Word? No. No, and so if I think a human being has to put on the Word, or there's a me that has to put on the Word, that's mistaken. That's not true. The only clue that Joel gives us in this chapter is we have to go beyond the thinking mind, and spiritual discernment comes through the faculty of feeling. We have to have some sort of feeling. Now, this isn't an emotion. All the emotions have to do with that same universal group of concepts. So that's not what he means by feeling. He means an intuitive feeling, a glimpse, a sudden awareness of the Word. This awareness of the Word is what we must find, for this is putting on immortality. And when you put on immortality, that is, when you suddenly become aware you're standing in the Word, and the Word is you, or you're resting in the Word, and the Word is you, and the Word is flowing as you, you begin to have a conscious awareness of something transcendental, something not material, something not a concept, something not a thought, something not you, and yet something very much you. You begin to have an awareness, a feeling, a perception of the Word, that which is. Now listen to what Joel says in this chapter later on. He says, when you are confronted with any human problem, instead of laboring for an improved human condition or human appearance or human concept, turn from the picture, turn, and realize the presence of the Divine Spirit in you. Now, he's been telling us that for years. Whenever you're confronted with a problem, turn from the problem. The answer is not in the problem. God's not in the whirlwind. And so we hear that. We process it with the human mind. And when we're confronted with the problem, we pull within ourselves, close our eyes, and start repeating statements of truth. That's not what he's suggesting. I really feel that sometimes Joel Goldsmith, as much as I love him, was so attuned at this. Well, he said it best when he said, I have a natural ability to rest. I have a knack for resting. He was the embodiment of Speak, Father, thy servant heareth, and standing totally still, so that he could make that inner shift, putting off the mortality of concepts and putting on the immortality of the Word here and now. And he was able to do that after many years of practice so smoothly, so simply, so easily, that he assumed we could too. And so he would say things like this over and over. Just whenever there's a human problem, turn from the picture, be still, and realize the presence of Divine Spirit in you. But when he says, realize the presence of the Spirit within you, or realize the Word, he's not talking about sit down and remind yourself by using the apparatus of the mind. That's not enough. That's not dying to mortality, that's indulging immortality. That's why there's no growth. That's why there's no upliftment. That's why you're not gaining spiritual awareness. Concepts of spirituality are still concepts. You're still standing in the universal concepts about the Word. And so if we're going to have the awareness of a Word, it's going to have to come through a different faculty than the human mortal mind. And so we sit here with eyes closed in the darkness, and what are we going to do? Well, the concepts won't help, so I'll drop them. It doesn't matter if you say that, or if you say, no answer to this, or if you say, I'm turning from this picture in the mind. But do recognize that it's not out there, it's a picture in the mind, a concept, a universal series of concepts about the Word. And so nothing can be done about that. And so I'm turning from that. And that's that. Now what? Well, I have a right to say, Father, reveal thyself. Reveal the Word. And then I must be still. Very quiet. Very still. I must cease from thinking, cease from concepts. Maybe I haven't had the awareness yet, and so I don't know what's going to happen. That's okay. That's okay. Just rest. I will reveal myself only in the silence of concepts. It has been said, God is known only when the human mind is at rest. And now we can say, the Word is experienced only when universal concepts are dropped. We must put off mortality in our meditations. If necessary, before we close our eyes, we remind ourselves, I cannot do anything. Me, the person, I cannot do anything. There's no way I can understand or reach the Word. So, in this meditation, I'm going to say two sentences, and then I'm going to wait for the Word to reveal itself. Now, Father, reveal the Word. You see, the necessity and the reason for Joel's incessant telling us in the Kailua studies, we've got to come to a higher form of prayer than mentalizing. seems sort of strange now when you look back on it. We were using the universal concepts about the word to quiet the universal concepts so that we might experience the real word. But he told us we must come to a higher form of prayer in which we don't do the talking. How many times did he say, well, now we've been talking for an hour, but none of this means anything. Let's go to the most important part, in which we must be still until we feel something, until something happens. When you feel this inner movement, when you feel this inner presence, when you feel the inner word, the inner God, this is putting on immortality in your meditation. And this must become your meditation so frequently that you will be able to do what Joel did when confronted with a man that was dying. He immediately shut down any concepts, turned within, and waited. And the word said unto Joel, man shall not live by breath alone. And when the word said it, within minutes, the nurses removed the iron lung and the man was breathing on his own. Now that wasn't a concept about the word. That was the word itself, uttering itself. And so, can you see now that there's nothing to do with the world out here? Nothing. Forget the world out here. There is no such thing. Your whole work now is moving. It's all done within yourself, and it's moving from the mind filled with universal concepts, moving out of that, rising up above that, resting so that the word speaks to you, so that the word reveals itself, so that you lose yourself in the consciousness of the word, omnipresence. Not the word omnipresence, the W-O-R-D itself, the word God itself, omnipresence. Each meditation should lead to this vanishing of concepts. Each meditation should lead to a resting in awareness in the word. And this should increase to the point where you begin to experience the word living where you appear to be. And the word appeared as flesh, but it was still the word. You must come into this consciousness of the word living itself right here with eyes open. As the word is experienced more and more, as you dwell in the word and the word dwells in you, as you dwell in God and God dwells in you, as you dwell in spirit and spirit dwells in you, you are leaving the universal concepts of a material universe. You are living in the conscious awareness of the spiritual universe. There are not two. And you are not moving from a physical material universe into a spiritual universe. No. The Word appeared as flesh, but it is still the Word. It has not changed its nature, character, or substance. You are the Word, but you've been living in a universal collective group of concepts. You've been buried. You've been dead. Let's say it like it is. You've been living in a tomb of universal concepts. But now you awaken. You turn. All this takes place within your consciousness. You turn from the concepts. You enter into awareness of the Word right here in the midst. And it enters you. And you have the experience, the awareness. I and the Father are one. I and the Word are one. And perhaps you are now past the point where Joel had to write God as individual being, because now you're experiencing the Word, and the Word as identity. Every time you catch yourself thinking about this world out here, you need to fix it. You need to stop right there and say, no, there is no world out there. These are concepts, universal concepts about the Word right here. And I have made the decision to put off universal concepts and put on the Word. And this I cannot do. This must happen while I vanish. And so you stand very still, no concepts, no self, and let the Word spring up. And it does. And it does. And all that the Word is here. And all that the Word has is here. How long are you going to play in concepts? Are you going to listen to this talk today and put it down and then immediately go into a world of concepts in your mind, because it's only in the mind? Remember Joel's admonition that no illusion is ever externalized? We understand that now, don't we? No illusion is ever externalized. Well, what about this body? This certainly seems to be externalized. No. This is one of those millions of concepts that exist only in the universal collective thought, mind, world mind, if you wish. But knowing that intellectually and telling yourself that when you get up in the morning and go to the mirror will not help you. It will not help you advance spiritually. It'd be an interesting theory to think about, and if you tell anybody about it, they'll think you've gone off the deep end. However, when you know that and you stop living in that, in the beginning only in your meditation, and later while you're carrying out tasks in life. When you know that, drop the concepts, drop the universal concepts of an individual life. Stand still and see the word by spiritual perception, by spiritual feeling, by inner knowing. Ah, this is the word. I see. Then the word reveals to you that the word is your identity. And these were concepts about the word, because that mind could never reach the word. It was forever locked out. But setting that mind aside, you come into the awareness of the word, the identity, right here. And so John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Word appeared as flesh. And the appearing as flesh are all the concepts, the universal concepts of individuals. You see how you must have this inner change? It's all an inside inner work, stepping out of that the concept mind, concepts mind, and resting, coming up and resting in the awareness, consciousness, or if you prefer, going deeper into the awareness consciousness. Doesn't matter whether you feel you go up or you go deeper. It just matters that you make the change, that you put off mortality and put on the word, immortality. Stand in the word. Abide in me, and let the word abide in you. That's the command. Abide in me, the Word, and let the Word abide in you. If you're standing in the Word at the moment this appearance takes its last breath, where will you be after that moment? Well, I don't know if I made myself plain today or not, but I hope that everyone understands that this is entirely an inside job. There's nothing out there to deal with. Everything must be met in consciousness, it says in the wisdoms, and that's how it's met. You step out of the universal concepts, put off mortality. You rest until the word reveals itself. Put on immortality. And when the word reveals itself, then it appears as flesh. It's still an appearance. It's still an illusion. But as long as we're here, the word is going to appear as flesh. By here I mean in this level of consciousness. None of us have graduated to living in the word and nothing but the word, so help us God. But we're on our way. And so it's an inside job. Let go of the concepts, Step into the awareness of the Word and let the Word live itself right here. There are not two universes. There is the Word, which is all that is, omnipresence. And there is concepts about the Word. But that's not two universes. That's a mind thinking about the Word. Now let that mind go, and behold, the Word is revealed. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the reality of God. We beheld His glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Word. And to as many as receive that Word, to them God gives power to become the Son, the expression of the Word. Yes, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the Word, in their midst. I invite you all to join me at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time every evening to have a meditation in which we lay down mortality, drop universal concepts, rest, and invite the Word to reveal itself. That's all. Just invite the Word and sit still and wait upon the Word. And the Word will respond. The Word will take over. And it may not happen the first, the second, the seventh, or the 17th time. But once you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the human mind cannot reach the Word, then you will know you must find this inner path through meditation. And you will be willing to go to any length to find and experience and dwell in and receive the Word. And so join me at 8:30, 15 minutes to a half an hour, no longer than a half an hour. It's okay if you read a little bit, perhaps that first chapter in Putting on Immortality in the Infinite Way. Perhaps only a paragraph or two. And then set it down. Remind yourself you are consciously letting go of universal concepts about the Word, which is called this world, but which is not a world. It's just a universal series of concepts inside that you have been entertaining. And so now you're going to drop them. But you still don't know how to reach the Word. So, Father, reveal the Word. Let the Word take over. Thank you. I wait. I await the Word. And then be silent until it happens.